We are indeed happy to see Brother Dallas back and still praying for his continued recovery and look forward to seeing him back in action soon. Before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we are thankful for the opportunity once again to enter into your house and to worship together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to sing songs of praise to your name and to look into your word and to hear a message from you this morning. And I pray that is exactly what will occur, that I pray that you will use me as your mouthpiece and that you will speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit and through your word this morning. Teach us all about yourself and your works and your ways, that we may be drawn to a closer walk with you. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask that. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to bring a message titled Treasure in Heaven. Treasure in Heaven. And the text will be in Luke chapter 12, verse 13, if you'd like to go ahead and turn to that passage. You may have been in a situation before where someone asked you to speak to someone else about something. It may have come across like, well, you need to talk to so-and-so about such-and-such, whatever it is. Have you ever been in that situation before? Where basically somebody wants you to be the kind of go-between between them and somebody else, and that's usually a bad idea to get involved in that, really. I've had that on numerous occasions, I've served as on staffs of different churches in different capacities, and you have that sometimes where somebody will say, hey, would you go and talk to so-and-so about such-and-such, or you need to talk to so-and-so about such-and-such. And usually my reply would be, well, have you spoken to them about this? And the reply is normally, well, no. And so then my reply in return is, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you go and speak to them about this? And if that conversation is not satisfactory, then come back and we'll go together and talk to them. You know how many times I've had someone take me up on that? None. I'm serious. Oh, man. But getting in the middle of those things is not a good idea. Not a good idea. You know, Jesus was in a similar situation. Somebody came to Jesus on one occasion and wanted Jesus to be the go-between between him and his relative about a dispute that they had going on. And Jesus flatly refused to get in the middle of it. He did. He knew that that was a bad idea, certainly, and so he wasn't going to do that. But he did use the occasion to teach a spiritual truth. Jesus always did that. He would use something in the natural world going on around him to teach a spiritual truth. And that's what he did on this occasion. So let's begin reading Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. It says, Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Okay, there's the dispute. He wants Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. Okay, that was a legal and financial matter. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store any crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Then he said to his disciples, Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Treasure in heaven. Jesus used this question that he was presented with to really go into a lengthy discussion of a spiritual matter and to draw their attention away from material things of this world and to put their focus on the things of heaven. And so here he gives us five keys to gaining treasure in heaven. Five keys to gaining treasure in heaven. The first key is beware of covetousness. In verse 15, he says that very plainly. He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Covetousness is wanting something that belongs to someone else. Now, that was a direct reference to the question that he had been presented with. This man said, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. The brother had the inheritance. He wanted some of it. Jesus says, beware of covetousness. That was his answer. He was not going to get involved in that dispute, but he wanted to address the issue of covetousness, which was going on in this situation. If our focus is on material things in this world, our focus is not on God where it needs to be. And that was the problem. That's what he was getting at here. It wasn't a matter of whether he was right or wrong in the financial dispute. That really wasn't the issue. The spiritual issue was he was focused on stuff and not focused on God. And Jesus goes on to say that one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Kind of like that old saying, the clothes make the man. Jesus would beg to differ, would he not? One's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Life is much more than that. Life goes way beyond that. The things we possess here only last for a time and may not even last for our lifetime here. But they certainly will not last into eternity, and that was what Jesus was concerned about. And so then he gives an example. He gives an illustration, if you will, a story to kind of drive home the point that he's making. And that is the parable of the rich fool. And here he goes. He spoke the parable to them. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. That's a good thing. He had a good crop. So he thought to within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crop? So he's trying to figure out what to do with it. He had run out of space in his barns. He wanted to know what to do with it. Okay, so he says, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, now he starts talking to himself, okay? I don't think it's a bad thing for folks to do well in business. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think this little conversation he has with himself, that's where he starts to go wrong. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods. I mean, think about that. He's talking to himself. Have you ever talked to yourself? I do that when I forget what I came into a room for. But anyway, this was a different situation. Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry. Wow, just take it easy, buddy. Take it easy. You've got it made. He was relying on what he had accumulated. He was relying on his possessions. He was no longer relying on God. When he was out doing his farming, he was relying on God to bring in the crop. You have to. I mean, there's so many things that are beyond your control when you do that kind of work, that he would had to rely on God. But now he figures, well, I've got it made now. I can just eat, drink, and be merry. Woohoo! Live it up. All right. But God said to him, fool, that is not what you want to hear come out of the lips of God. It is not. He said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? It just drives home the point that all these things, we can be successful with our material possessions. But when we pass from this life, it's all gone. We cannot carry it with us. There are no U-Haul trailers behind hearses. There just aren't. It's going to be left here, and somebody else will have it when we're gone. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He didn't say it was a bad thing to have possessions, but he did say, and is not rich toward God. That's where the focus needs to be. It's okay to have possessions, but we need to maintain our focus on God. Be rich toward God. And then he goes on to explain some more. That's why I'm going through a lot of this, because sometimes we just pull out one of these parables, but they're all connected. It's all part of the same discussion that Jesus was having here. So the first key is beware of covetousness. Don't focus on possessions and material things. The second key to gaining treasure in heaven is do not worry. Do not worry. Look at verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Now he does not want them to worry about a couple things here. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat. Now, I know when noontime rolls around, we're going to be worrying about what we're going to eat, right? That's why I try not to preach past 12. Come on, y'all can chuckle at that. It's okay. All right. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Food, clothing, these are necessities of life. These are basic things, food and clothing. Okay? But he says, don't worry about that. Now, he did not say sit back and don't work for it. He didn't say that, but he said don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Why? Because we're supposed to trust in God. Ultimately, God provides what we have. He expects us to work and to do our part, yes. But there are circumstances and things that happen that we have absolutely no control over. And so, yes, we're to do our part, but ultimately we trust in God to provide. So he says, don't worry about your life, what you eat, or your body, what you put on. Life is more than food, and the body's more than clothing. Once again, life is more than all this material stuff that we worry about. And then he gives another illustration. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse or barn, and God feeds them. He says, look at the birds. God feeds the birds. They're not worried. They don't look worried to me. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And of course, the obvious answer is a lot more. God cares about you more than birds. So if he can take the time to take care of the birds, he's certainly going to take time to take care of you. And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Now, a cubit was about 18 inches. We might can wear some heels on our shoes and get a 2 or 3 inches up on us, right? But not 18. And by worrying, you're not going to add to your height. You just won't. It won't happen. If you are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? he's pointing out the principle here that worry doesn't do us any good. It's just not going to help us. So don't worry. Just do your part and trust God to provide. That's the point. So do not worry. He's pointing out the futility of worry. I mean, think about it. Have you ever worried about something and has it ever done you any good? No. I mean, if it's something you can do something about, don't worry. Just do something about it, right? If you cannot do anything about it, worrying's not going to help because you still can't do nothing about it. Worrying's just not going to help you. It will raise your blood pressure and be detrimental to your health. Don't worry. Trust in God. The antithesis of worry is faith. That's what Jesus was getting at. Trust God instead. So are you trusting God? It's easier said than done, isn't it? Well, problems pile up, don't they? And they pile up big time. And sometimes everything tends to hit us all at the same time. And it's hard not to worry. And it's at those times we need to get along with God and start talking to Him about it. And do so until we get a peace in our soul that we're confident that God is going to take care of this situation. Because Jesus has already told us He will. Prayer is not for us to twist the arm of God to get Him to do what we want. Prayer is for us to get in line with what God wants. And when we do, when we're really trusting Him, and we can really say with sincerity, "Your will be done in this situation," then we have peace in our life. Do not worry. Third key to gaining treasure in heaven is seek God's kingdom. Seek God's kingdom, verse 31. "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." These things, or what things? Well, the things he had just been talking about, food, clothing. He had gone into talking about the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, how God takes care of the lilies of the field, how they're beautiful beyond what King Solomon, the greatest king in Israel's history, he said he was not dressed as nicely as the lilies of the field that God takes care of. And they're just here today and gone tomorrow. But God takes care of them. Of course he's going to take care of you. He cares more about you than the grass of the field and the birds of the air. And so do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink or have an anxious mind. An anxious mind is a terrible thing to live with, right? So many of us live with an anxious mind. Anxiety, it can cause us all kinds of problems. But faith, trusting in God, can help us overcome our anxieties and our fears. We'll sleep better at night. Amen? To me, having peace of mind is worth a whole lot more than any material possessions you can possess. I mean, really, think about it. There's folks that's got a lot of money, but they're not happy. They're worried about it. They're always concerned about it. And they're always fearful that they're going to lose it. Or there's people that don't have it and they're worried about getting it. But all of that's not healthy for us. It's not good for us. And Jesus doesn't want us to be anxious and all bent out of shape all the time. He wants us to have peace. After all, He's the Prince of Peace. And He is teaching here a way that we can have that peace of mind in the here and now, and also rewards in the hereafter. So seek God's kingdom, verse 31, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things, all the things that you need, shall be added to you." It's a matter of getting our priorities right. If the thing we're striving for is God's kingdom, if we're concerned about what God is concerned about, if we're seeking Him and His work and His kingdom, God will take care of the rest. It's like the old story I heard about a man who, this is back in Victorian times, and the monarch of the country had said to the businessman that they wanted him to go and to perform a certain task overseas, and it was going to take some time to complete this task. And so the question that he had was, well, who will take care of my business while I'm overseas taking care of this task? And what the ruler said to him was, you take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours. And you know, God approaches us that way, doesn't he? You take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours. He takes care of his own. Seek God's kingdom. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now think about that. God doesn't do it begrudgingly. Oh, well, okay, if I have to help you out, I will. He doesn't do that. He's happy to help us. He likes to help us. He takes joy in taking care of us. Isn't that good to know? I'm glad of that. It's a matter of looking for the right thing and looking in the right place. Have you ever followed those treasure maps? Have you ever had a party or something where you had that kind of game where you had a treasure map? You had to look for and find certain clues in certain places. And if you don't find the clue, you're not going to find the treasure. And the treasure that Jesus is talking about, it's a matter of looking in the right place. It's looking towards God. It's looking for His kingdom. Setting our minds on His priorities. And then God takes care of the rest. Trusting God. In life, what are we looking for? What are we looking for? The fourth key of gaining treasure in heaven is do not fear. And we've touched on this already, but he says quite plainly, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Notice he calls them little flock. Jesus is the great shepherd, is he not? He takes care of the sheep. Don't fear, little flock. He's like, hey, I got you covered. Don't fear. Don't fear. Trust instead. For it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, no matter what happens in this life, we have an inheritance in the next, do we not? In Jesus Christ, we sure do. So if the worst case scenario were to happen and this life were to be miserable, the next is not going to be. So we know we've at least got that. But you know what? God gives us blessings in the here and now as well as in the hereafter, doesn't he? He does. He gives us many blessings right now and many more yet to come. God delights in caring for you. Sheep don't fear their shepherd. Sheep follow their shepherd. And they trust their shepherd for their food and for their care. And that shepherd takes care of his sheep. And God does that for us. The fifth key to gaining treasure in heaven is transfer your wealth. Transfer your wealth. Now, I'm not talking about name it and claim it and blab it and grab it theology. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, so I'm not of that theological bent. But look at what he says. He says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. What he's talking about is using the material possessions that God has blessed you with here to do God's work here. And in doing so, you are transferring your worldly wealth to spiritual wealth in the heavens. It's a transfer from one account to another. When you use what God has given you, be it talents, be it opportunities, be it possessions, whatever it might be that God has blessed you with and given you, if you use it for His glory and for His kingdom, you are making a transfer from here to the hereafter. It's a transfer. Just like if you have two bank accounts. Let's say you have one bank account over here and you have another bank account over here, and you want to transfer some money from this bank account over to this bank account. Well, there's a way that you do that. Sometimes you can do it online through the computer, or you might have to go to your bank and have it transferred. But however you go about it, there's a method to transfer from one to the other. And Jesus is talking about how we can do that spiritually speaking. Use it, what you have. Sell what you have and give alms. That's giving to the poor. That's really what that's talking about. Use it to bless somebody. Use it to help somebody. And when you do so, look what he says. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. They had like these leather or cloth pouches that they would keep their money in, right? Their coins or whatever they had, right? Well, that stuff gets old after a while. Leather or cloth, it will get old and it'll get brittle. It'll start to wear holes in it after a while. And if there's a hole that wears into the thing, then the coins will start to fall out. You can't keep the wealth in there forever. Eventually it's going to fall out. Eventually you'll lose it. But he says if you're putting it up in heaven, the money bag doesn't grow old up there. It won't wear out. You won't lose it up there. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail. There are currencies here on the earth that fail. The value of the dollar goes up and it goes down and it's all over the place. But the currency of heaven does not fail. There's no stock market to go bust up there. You don't have to worry about your investments there. It'll be there for you. Where no thief approaches. You don't have to worry about somebody stealing it from you up there. Nobody's going to steal it from you up there. It's there. It's for you. Or moth destroys. People based their wealth on their clothing that they had back then. How many articles of clothing they actually owned. You had to be wealthy to have more than one outfit back then. And so a moth eating your hole in your clothing, well, that was a bad thing. That destroyed your wealth. He says you don't have to worry about something destroying your wealth when it's up there. It's secure. Nothing's going to get to it. Nothing's going to bother it up there. And look at the final verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What we invest in, we care about. And when you've invested a lot in something, that tends to make you care about it more. Because you've put all your effort, all your time, all your treasure into this thing, and you're concerned about it. You care about it. You don't want all that to be for nothing. Of course not. So Jesus says, put your treasure up there in heaven. Put it into God's kingdom. Put it into God's work and care about His work. God will take care of the rest. You focus on that and God will take care of the rest. Oh, there's a song, an old gospel song, Ready to Leave. You might be familiar with it. The chorus to that song lyrics go something like this. Ready to leave. In the twinkling of an eye, making investments in the bank up in the sky. Happy preparation, not a reason to grieve. Are you in that number getting ready to leave? I like that song. It really is a picture of the Christian life, laying up treasure in heaven. Of course, that assumes that you've opened an account. And we open an account when we give our life to Jesus, when we begin to follow Him, He opens an account in that bank account up in the sky for us. It's when we turn from our sins and give our hearts to Jesus and we begin to follow Him, He opens that account in heaven and it begins. And then He gives us opportunity in this life to add to that as we go. Treasure in heaven. So if you've never given your heart to Jesus, do so today. Open that account today with Him. And if you have, sometimes we get distracted. Set your focus back on God's kingdom where it needs to be. Invest in that and watch and see what God does in your life. Let's pray. Dear God, we are so thankful that You give us so many blessings. You have given us everything that we have and everything that we hope to have. You give it to us in the first place, and You give us the skills that we have and the opportunities that we have. And then when we will honor You with that, You reward us for doing so. So many great blessings that You give us. And so, God, it's my prayer today that You would help keep us focused on Your kingdom and in Your work, and that we'd find all of the blessings there that You have for us. God, it's my prayer this morning, if there is one here who has never received Jesus as their Savior, there's never been a time in their life when they've just turned from their sins and asked You to forgive them and made a commitment to follow Jesus and have begun to do so, that today would be the day they would do so. And God, I pray that as we do these things, that we would just draw ever closer to You. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen.